praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program.
One of the wonderful verses in the New Testament tells us that the law of the Spirit of life has freed us from sin and from death. It may seem strange that a law frees us from sin and death. We will explore the freeing law of life on today's Life Study of Romans with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry. Ron Kangas is with us again today to add his comments and fellowship on this message from Romans chapter 8. Ron, thank you for joining the program today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to fellowship on the wonderful subject that we will be considering.
Ron, for our final three programs in Romans, we come back to chapter 8. Can you briefly review this crucial chapter in all of Scripture?
What we're sharing now in this program is based upon some of the last messages in the life study of Romans. And these messages are truly classics. They are monumental. They are of lasting significance. In many respects, they are incomparable because they release and present to us, based upon the Word of God, a deeper spiritual understanding of Romans 8. You will find them unique and very beneficial and worthy of our time and exercise in prayer.
Thanks, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee for today's life study.
Romans 8 talks about a law. It does not talk about the Spirit. The subject, the topic of Romans 8 is not the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life. This law is the process of the triune God to be the indwelling Spirit, the processed triune God becoming a life-giving Spirit to indwell you. This one is the law. Just like sin is a person, and this law is also a person. Amen. In this chapter, you have the process. Not only the process, but the processes. In verse 3, you have two processes. Incarnation, crucifixion. Then you read on in verses 9, 10, 11, you have resurrection. And then you read on, verse 34, you have the ascension. These are the different processes which our triune God went through. He had gone through all this process. But number two, in this chapter, you surely have the triune God. Firstly, in verse 2, you have the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit. This is the third of the Trinity, the Spirit. Then, in verse 3, you also have God sending His Son. So God the Father is here, and God the Son is here, and God the Spirit is here. The triune God is here. Not only so, if you go to verses 9, 10, you have the Spirit of God. Then you have the Spirit of Christ. Then you have Christ Himself. So you have God, Christ, and the Spirit. You have the triune God. So you could see this chapter is talking about the triune God having been processed. After having been processed, He became a Spirit that gives life. You see, in verse 11. And this Spirit that gives life is now indwelling you. He indwells you. Who is He? He is the life-giving Spirit, just the triune God, after being processed.
Ron, we heard what I thought was a very striking point here, that it's the law of the Spirit of life specifically, and not just the Spirit generally, that frees us from sin and death. Comment on this and on the relationship between this law and the process that God went through.
It would be beneficial just to briefly, from chapters 5 up until 8, trace the matter of law, because Romans 8, 2 speaks of two kinds of laws. So, objectively, there is the law of God, especially the unchanging moral law of God. Then, in addition, there are laws that are more, we may say, subjective or experiential. In chapter 7, Paul is describing his efforts to fulfill all the commandments of the law. He's especially struggling with the one about not coveting. And so he refers to the law of good that was in his mind. But what is this? This is our natural, created human life, and every life has in it a life to govern its development and function. Fish, birds, different kinds of animals, human beings. So that's a spontaneous working of this law in our natural life, wanting to do good. And then there's a kind of indirect reference to a law where Paul says there's a law that as soon as I try in my own effort to do good, sin is activated. So when we come now to Romans 8, Paul brings us into that chapter by crying out at the end of chapter 7, "Who will deliver me from this death, this inner death that's in him?" Then he begins chapter 8, as we know it, by saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 2, he comes to the crucial point, and everything that follows thereafter in this chapter is related to this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and of death. So in the previous chapter, where Paul is struggling by the law of good in his mind to overcome what he now recognizes is the law of sin and death in his being. And where did this law come from? Well, compare it with the law of good in our mind. Our God-created natural human life has spontaneous laws. We illustrate physically, we breathe by law, not by decision or effort. We digest food by law in the same way. Well, how could sin and death become a law inside of us. It happened because Satan injected his evil nature into humankind when man disobeyed and partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the satanic life and nature are in our fallen being, and that life becomes the law of sin and the law of death. But there's the highest law, which is actually the triune God in Christ as the Spirit, entering into our spirit when we were regenerated, and now we have in us not only the Spirit, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the spontaneous, automatic working of the triune God himself as the law. It's the law of the Spirit of life. This life is the life of God dispensed into us. And this law frees us from the law of sin and of death.
Ron, as you pointed out, these two laws are now resident in us. And I think we've all experienced how the one law is activated perpetually. Before we're done today, I think we will see how we activate this higher and greater law, the law of the Spirit of life. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The triune God, after being processed, is now indwelling you. Indwelling you in what way? In threefold way. Why? Firstly, you have verse 10. It says, if Christ is in you, the Spirit is life. If Christ is in you, this Christ is the triune God. And who becomes the indwelling Spirit? This is the Christ. This Christ is in you, so your Spirit is life. Because this Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, indwells your Spirit. And his indwelling makes your Spirit life. Then you read verse 6. The mind set on the Spirit is life. This is your soul. The mind is the leading part of your soul. Actually, it represents your soul. Firstly, your spirit is life. And secondly, your soul is life. And thirdly, in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from among the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from among the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Threefold. And this is the triune God dispensed into the tripartite. This triune God, who has been processed and who has dispensed himself into us, this triune God, in this tripartite man, is the law. You have to admire at the Bible. Romans was written 2,000 years ago. Science was not prevailing there. You may say, in that age, 2,000 years ago, no human beings understood any kind of science. But Paul, in writing Romans, used some scientific terms. The law here is a scientific matter. The law here is not the Ten Commandments. The law here is what? Is a spontaneous working principle. When he says, when I will to do good, I find out another law in my members. And that law is also not some regulation. That law is an automatic, natural working principle. So you all have to realize we all have these two scientific laws. One is evil. That is called the law of sin and death. And this second one is good. It's marvelous. which is called the law of the spirit of life. You have these two laws mentioned in one verse. For the law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. In this one verse, you have these two laws. And I must tell you frankly and directly, these two laws are just two persons. The law of the spirit of life is just a triune God, but not in a simple way. In a way, firstly, being processed, and secondly, being dispensed into our three parts. And thirdly, he is dwelling here. And the word dwelling in Greek means housing. The triune God, firstly, processed. Secondly, dispensed. Thirdly, houses himself in our tripartite being.
Ron, it's clear that the entire triune God is involved in the process that's unfolded in Romans. And it's also clear that all three elements or persons of the Godhead indwell us as well. Would you say something about this marvelous summary given here, that the triune God was firstly processed, secondly dispensed, and thirdly houses himself in our tripartite being?
Okay, now we share something further about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin, the law of death, are related to Satan, the devil himself, who sinned from the beginning, who is the source of death. When his life and nature were injected into us, when man fell, that became a law. Now, in Romans 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is freeing us from the law of sin and death. Actually, this law is Christ himself. It's the triune God himself. It's the Spirit himself as life having entered into us. But verses such as Paul's word in 1 Timothy about God dwelling in unapproachable light. There's no way such a God in his Godhead could enter into us. But various verses tell us, like Romans 8:10, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. Christ is in us because the triune God has been processed in Christ economically in order to become the life-giving spirit, which is like breath, John 20:22. It's like living water, 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. So this processed and consummated triune God, God in Christ as the Spirit, has come into us with his life and nature, and the triune God with his life and nature is now the law operating spontaneously in us. This is the same in principle as that negative law that has its source in Satan, the law of sin and death. So there is in Romans 8 a marvelous unveiling of the triune God. The triune God has been processed in Christ to become the indwelling spirit, to be the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, operating within us right now.
Ron, it's very striking that as we draw near the end of the life study of Romans, it is so evident that our one unique need, be it our body, our soul, or our spirit, is just this matter of life. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Do you realize, as a living being, you have quite a number of laws? For instance, are you now breathing? All of you are breathing. Even I am breathing without any sensation. So our breathing now is alone. To breathe is alone. Spontaneous, automatic, working principle. To commit sin is alone. Have you ever entered any school of sin? Is there any teacher teaching people how to steal? How to lie? I never studied such a school, but I lied a lot. Hatred comes from this law. Jealousy comes from this law. The law of sin. But hallelujah. Do you know? Another law has been installed in public.
Amen.
Another law. Hallelujah. Oh, we do have such an installment.
Amen.
The triune God.
Amen.
After being processed, He has been installed into us.
Amen.
Now, we have another law.
Amen.
As a law, the triune God today works within us not as the mighty God, but as an automatic working law. This is just like electricity installed into this building. Suppose now you need the light. You just call the power plant. You beg them. What would happen? Nothing would happen. The power plant people say, stupid. You go. Where? To the switch. You have the triune God installed into you.
Amen.
Yet today you need the light. What do? You kneel down to cry, Oh God, merciful Father. You pray. Have you got the answer? The Lord would say, stupid child. Don't you know today, I don't work in you as the mighty God. I work as a law. Our God today is not only our Savior, our Redeemer, our mighty God. Even, it's not only our life supply. He is a law in us. Now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin. There is such a law within us, working.
Ron, I think this is probably a very new or fresh realization that God's operation in us is not so much a series of actions or activities, but rather it's the operation of a law that He has divinely installed in our being. Explain this according to your understanding, Ron.
Believers sincerely, and in a sense accurately, may speak of God operating in us to do a certain thing, to prompt us to take a certain action, to live Him and to serve Him. But there is something deeper than this in Romans 8. What we have here is not simply the triune God is in us, and now He wants us to pray, He wants us to share Christ with someone. Beyond that, the triune God in us is a law operating all the time. Just as the law in our physical body that regulates our breathing, we don't just occasionally breathe as an action. We breathe because there's a law in our being operating in us in this way. So we need to see the difference between the Lord doing this or that action, and to His being the law in us, operating all the time, shaping us into the image of the firstborn Son, in verse 29, enabling us to walk according to the Spirit, in verse 4, dispensing life into our mortal body, verse 11. So many aspects, because there is a law operating in us all the time, and how wonderful it is to see, then to understand, and then to experience this wonderful divine reality, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is the triune God Himself with His life and nature operating within us. In this way, on the negative side, we're delivered from the law of sin and death. On the positive side, we fulfill God's purpose mentioned in verse 28. What a wonderful light and marvelous experience this is. Praise the Lord and thank Him for opening this profound matter in Romans 8 through one of His servants.
Ron, I want to thank you for your fellowship today. We'd like to encourage all of you listening to call our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFESTUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can write to Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to radio@lsm.org. We'll be back again with another life study from the Book of Romans with Witness Lee. For Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. We have these recorded studies on every book of the Bible available to you online free of charge. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. You can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or add them to your podcast subscriptions, all at no charge. Once more, the website, lsmradio.com. To contact us, send email to radio@lsm.org or call us at 1-888-LIFESTUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.